You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery.
Spar Group issued results that were quite badly affected by its recent Polish acquisition, which is loss-making. The acquisition was also held up by the lockdown that we've seen all over the world. If excluded, earnings would have been up 8%, but we saw normalized HEPS down just over 13%. CEO Graham O'Connor joins us now. Evening, Graham. Can you just give us an update on the impact that COVID-19 has had on the business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a very trying time and for everybody, not only for ourselves. We're one of the fortunate companies that can actually operate essential services. So we've been very fortunate, albeit in South Africa, only at 75% level with Topps Liquor closed, our cigarette sales closed, and our builder closed. So we've been fortunate in that regard. But I think we've handled it pretty well from a company point of view, the protocols going through, the social distancing, all the actual disciplines in place to safeguard the lives of our staff, our customers, and obviously our frontline staff, especially retail.
COVID-19 has been an accelerant on certain trends, and one of them is certainly online shopping. I see you piloting home shopping with Spar Call Us. How is that pilot going? And are you going to use that to roll out across the builded stores as well?
Mike, it's going really well. I mean, the Call Me, we're into 60 stores now. Yes, COVID really accelerated online shopping, and people liked it. And portion of it is that there's some click and collect relating to that as well. So we are piloting. We've got a couple of other pilots on the go, and we'll move quickly to an online platform certainly in the next couple of months.
How does one think about approaching that sort of last mile and the logistics of this? Is it a partnership-based approach where you go with an existing courier company? Are you taking that in-house? What are your thoughts there?
No, our thoughts are, I mean, we'd prefer click and collect, obviously, but stores, I mean, the people that have used it in the last 2 months, it's been 50-50 between click and collect and delivery. And the delivery is with our own transport and own vehicles at delivery. So that's where it's been.
Yeah, I can manage that in-house. Now, what do you make of the government decision to ban alcohol and tobacco sales? We're one of the only countries in the world to do so. And I'm yet certainly on the tobacco side to get any a cogent explanation as to what the science is behind banning tobacco sales. And all we've seen, chatting to Johan van Lochrenberg, formerly a SARS forensic investigator, who's written two books about tobacco, is a huge boom in the black market trade. It's perplexing.
Look, it's crazy. I mean, we've told government that they're losing massive money on excise for both alcohol and for cigarettes. And it doesn't make any sense at all to me. They were using COVID as a avenues you get at cigarette smokers and drinkers, and it doesn't make any sense at all in that regard. So, I mean, I've expressed that to government. They won't be happy to hear me on the air saying the same thing, but so be it.
What was the response like, though, from government when you did express that? We have at least seen government admitting to making a mistake with the e-commerce and subsequently rolling back the ban on unfettered e-commerce. We're unlikely to see something similar when it comes to something so obvious on the tobacco.
I don't think we'll see that. We just got to hang in there and hopefully it opens soon, Michael. That's for sure. I can't see them apologising for anything. They've taken the high ground and said, look, health-wise. In fact, I spoke to one of the advisors to the government this morning who said to me, but, you know, cigarettes are bad for the health. It's proven. I said, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind about this. The problem is you're not stopping people smoking. They're just going the illicit route. So you've actually lost out a massive revenue. And yeah, there was stunned silence on the other side.
Because there's no answer to that. There's no comeback. Anyway, the looting, it's led to looting at some of your franchise top stores as well, this. So
there's
obviously a question now on how that impacts the franchise's ability to get back on their feet post-lockdown. What have you seen here? What sort of impact have you seen from the looting?
Well, we've had probably somewhere in the region of 20 stores broken into, which in the scheme of things isn't massive, but it's disconcerting because it will lead to others, and that's the big concern. We've expressed that to government ad nauseum, and I'm just hoping, as I expressed earlier today, that they come and give us a chance to stock up, and they need to make longer hours rather than less hours, because longer hours is you can have social distancing, people can be in and out faster. It makes no sense to use your ID book and alphabet and stuff like that. That just slows up the whole process of being in and out of stores, which is what you want to do.
Absolutely. We want to see common sense prevail. The Polish acquisition was a big focus of your results call earlier today. The loss there, largely thanks to some non-operational issues, IFRS popping up again, IFRS 16,
yes,
and all of those things. What can we expect going forward with the Polish business? Where do you see it fitting into Poland's competitive retail landscape?
The opportunity definitely is in the convenience and the proximity supermarket area. So as we have them in Europe, Spar stores and Euro Spar stores, we've launched a 1 Euro Spar store in Warsaw already with 1,900 square meters, which is that's more like a proper supermarket. But the massive opportunities in the proximity area and the convenience area, and we're well poised to take advantage of that. Bear in mind that some 62% of the Polish market is formalized, and there's another 38% that is not. And there are 13,500 independent retailers there, and there are a number of them who would like to join us already. So we're just getting ourselves organized so that we have proper distribution, and then we'll move forward. What we've guided the market is we'll get to break even by the end of next year, because obviously the delay in granting us the license, firstly, that was delayed by a year, and then, of course, the COVID scenario, which has probably been a 2 or 3 month delay as well.
That is the unfortunate reality of what COVID has done. It's caused delays all over the place. It's caused supply chain issues all over the place. Given that you are an essential service and you are delivering a key service in terms of food supply and retail and wholesale, what sort of contingency measures have you taken inside the business to get you through this period?
Well, Michael, let me first say that thank you very much to our suppliers, to our people, and our retail staff, just for the amazing job they've done in feeding the nation, because it's been absolutely remarkable. The contingency plans we've obviously put in place are close discussions with our suppliers, where there's shortages, making alternatives as far as that goes. And we've actually built up our stocks a bit, both at distribution center level and retail level.
Spar Group CEO Graham O'Connor reporting back on a mixed bag of results. Pretty good if you read through all the operational stuff, just some tricky accounting issues in Poland.